All right, everyone. Hopefully we're on the air now. Hello and welcome inside the Radio Lurie Studios. This is your weekly edition of Gold in Bold, your voice of Lurie Sports. We'll cover campus sports. We'll cover professional sports. We'll cover happenings going on all around the world of sports. And later on this episode, stick around for maybe around 1:30, 1:40, as we're going to try a little special feature here on the show live, which hasn't been done as long as I've been here, and I've been told it hasn't been done really ever. So this might prove to be a very innovative and exciting episode of Gold and Bold. So stick around for like 1:30, 1:40-ish as we might do a little call-in segment. But before that, I'll get into sports and keep you updated with campus sports and professional sports. My name's Ian Bale. I'm sports manager here at Radio Lurie. Of course, joined to me is our seasoned veteran, Kevin Johnson. Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's pretty dreary Friday out, eh?
Yeah, midterm seasons, right?
I know, it's midterms. It's like, it was like rain. I walked outside, it was sprinkling. I'm like, of course.
It's really gloomy for today.
Yeah, we mentioned midterm seasons coming up, and hopefully it's almost over, actually.
Yeah, we're hoping everyone's doing good. You know, midterm season's, you know, coming to a wrap by next week, hopefully. So, you know, just keep it up. Just one more week.
Yeah, I think there's a, of course, Lurie is big on business and economics. I'm an economics student. I'm fourth year, though. But, of course, the first year business and economics class, that's huge across campus. So I'm pretty sure there's I think maybe an accounting midterm today.
Accounting.
Like the intro accounting.
I believe 127, yeah.
127, yeah. And I think Microrecon, Eck 120 is Saturday.
I remember taking that, yeah.
Oh, man, I remember taking that, too. It's Tammy again, Tammy Sherrill.
Tammy Sherrill.
Classic. I had her in my first year. She's still kicking around doing that class.
And brutal 111.
Yeah. BU 111.
BU 111.
The things I want to say about that class, I'm not going to say on air. But we'll get into sports happenings now. Of course, most recently, the Lurie men's hockey team battle to an overtime loss last night, 6-5 in the Battle of Waterloo. It was a pretty good turnout there. I was down there last night at the rec complex, mentoring, I guess, one of our new commentators. So he got his first game, his first time on air. It was a 6-5 thriller against, of course, our rivals down from University Avenue, the Waterloo Warriors. Lurie had the lead. Warriors had the lead. And eventually the Warriors in a back-and-forth game. It was quite the show. And I know it sounds cliche, Kevin, but Battle of Waterloo, regardless of sport, always gives you a show, eh?
Always, yeah. You always huge turnout, too, where it's basketball, hockey, too. You always love to see it from the fans, right?
Oh, and they had the drum line there. Have you experienced
really?
The drum line yet?
I've seen them at the football game.
The football games are there.
For homecoming, yeah.
And then the football, of course, they got the bye, so they're in the semifinals, so they haven't played in a couple weeks. I haven't got experience the drum line, so I guess while they're waiting for the football game, they're in the rec complex. I'm walking into it and just hear drums, and I thought it was gunshots. I'm like, oh, what am I missing? This is exciting. Do I turn the other way? What's going on? But no, the drum line was there, and it was really fun. Again, great crowd, and it's always good when you have like these close teams come to Waterloo. So like, we're gonna get Waterloo Warriors come to Lurie. That's literally a 2-minute Uber ride, right?
It's always like a nice little rivalry, you say, right?
Yeah, definitely, and you know, and then you have like Guelph, you know, that's a 25-minute highway drive. You see a lot of Guelph fans when they come here.
Yeah, of course.
Western sometimes from out of London, too. You might see UFT, I know, make some trips down here for their hockey teams. That's just at Toronto York and TMU Bold. So it's always great to see the visiting fans come in. It was a great turnout last night, but of course, the Golden Hawks fall 6-5 in overtime. Of course, notably, Shingarov, their starting goaltender, who you'd expect before the signing of Malbuff. Of course, Christian Malbuff was 2-0 on his two starts this season. Shingarov has three starts so far, and he looked promising being the backup last year, and he was all set to take the reins. And he's had three starts this year and has not won any of them, which
really?
Is a cause for mild concern in the blue paint. But of course, Christian Malbuff, the former Kitchener Ranger, signs, and he's got two starts and two, and he actually came in relief. Of course, head coach Derek Forrest of the Golden Hawks hockey program pulled Shingarov when Warriors went up 4-3, which you don't really see a goalie pulled, regardless of like how many goals they score. You don't see goalies pulled in a one goal game, right? So that was interesting to see. And Malbuff came in and then got it to overtime, 5-5 into overtime, and the Warriors in the last minute or two of overtime drained at home for their road win. And of course, women's hockey, Of course, that men's overtime loss makes the men's hockey program 2-2-2. Of course, 2 wins, 2 losses, 2 overtime losses. And then the women's hockey, they'll play home next week, but they have a game coming up. Of course, their most recent game was a 4-2 win versus Queens, which Zach of our team commentated, and he said went pretty well. So the women's are 2-1. The men's, earlier start season, they're 6 games in. They're 2-2-2. Kevin, I'll throw it to you for a bit of a basketball recap. Of course, their regular season hasn't started, but their preseason is well underway.
Yeah, men's basketball, it's a lot of action going on, especially tonight as well. They're heading on to Toronto and to York to play their first one of their preseason games against York at 8 p.m. actually. Women's basketball is going to fall right before it, actually, at 6 p.m. Women's and men's basketball, you know, good. They're doing pretty good so far, I would say. Men's basketball so far undefeated, actually, in the preseason. But and the Concordia Classic sadly lost all 3 games.
Yeah, I was looking at that other schedule, and I'm like, oh wow, they're like 6-0 in their preseason, and then all 3 games they got to play at the Concordia Classic up in Montreal, they dropped.
Yeah, a little bit of upset there. Yeah,
and they dropped them by like a healthy margin too. They weren't close games, really.
It wasn't a close game. Yeah, and then but you know, new team, a lot of new players as well coming into the new program as well. Loss of Lukomski, Gebre Keaton from last year as well. Also, you know, the loss of Coach Suresh and a new coach, Cavill Johnson. Again, congrats to Coach Suresh for joining the Raptors 905. You know, Cavill Johnson's taking the reins so far for men's basketball. Just trying to fit into that little position right there. You know, stepping in to take that head coach position, just falling in between the program and trying to make things work. So, yeah, the regular season starts next week on November 1st against Ottawa. I'll be covering that first game. That's my first play-by-play opportunity as well through Radio Laurier.
Yeah, there's a lot of the sports team here, of course, our team. We do this radio show that you're listening to right now. Hi. And we're also doing we commentate the games, and we're very lucky because usually we just do the color commentary and Athletics provides play-by-play. So it's two-man booth. We provide the color and Athletics provides the play-by-play. But in that basketball opening weekend, there's like 3 or 4 play-by-play slots that we're covering.
Yeah.
So I think every single one of our team is getting involved that weekend in some way. So that's exciting.
I'm pretty sure I'm doing most or if not all.
Yeah, I think you're on that play-by-play column.
Yeah, something I want to do.
Have you done play-by-play before or no?
No, I've done colors. Yeah, I did a lot of colors last year, actually. You know, I kind of got mentored a little bit by the guys, you know.
Who have you called with mainly?
Pretty sure Mark.
Cascanet.
Yeah.
Mark. I've done hockey with him. He's amazing.
Yeah, Mark's amazing. Yeah, he gave me a lot of tips and pointers, especially women's basketball, even with men's basketball too. Like he's told me a lot, you know, things to say. You know, you can keep it casual as well. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot formal.
Yeah, it's just exciting with you know, the opportunities we have. We're not broadcasting nationally. You don't have to be the most, but you can be a bit more casual. And it's college sports, which, you know, you're also listening for entertainment. So
yeah, exactly.
It's always fun. Yeah, you're doing a lot of play-by-play for that opening weekend, of course, there against, as you mentioned, Ottawa. Of course, that's the men's basketball home opener November 1st. And of course, that's the first game of the regular season too. So catch that. Pretty cheap tickets available for the Athletic Complex gym. It's right on campus, so there's really no excuse not to go. And that same weekend, the women's basketball opens there. Season 2, but taking it back to that men's basketball Concordia tournament, of course, that was held in Montreal. And Laurier, you know, the 5 games preceding it, the preseason games, they were against not necessarily OUA opponents, they're against like Humber and Niagara.
Yeah,
and
a lot of college opponents there. Yeah, so.
Which is, you know, so they won those, expectedly. They're the favorites in those games. But they come to the Concordia tournament, and they dropped the first game 49-71 against the host Concordia, and close to a 30-point difference, about 22, I guess, doing quick math. And then 76-90 the next game against Cape Breton, which, in all fairness, didn't realize Cape Breton actually had like a university.
Yeah, me either, actually.
I thought Cape Breton was just an island of, you know, fiddle music and Stan Rogers, but apparently they got a university there, and they got a pretty good basketball program there. Of course. And then their last game, they're against actually an OUA opponent in McMaster, the men's basketball team, and they dropped that 78-87.
Yeah, speaking of McMaster, actually, Laurier men's basketball, they're going to conclude their preseason against them on the 27th, I believe, as well.
Oh, that's coming up.
Women's basketball, actually, they clinched third place in the Darcel Wright Classic as well, which is nice to see. They're currently 5-2 right now in the preseason. Again, yeah, going back to York, they're going to play against York tonight as well at 6 p.m., and the season opener is going to be on the 1st as well, right against Ottawa. But yeah, hopefully good luck to both men's and women's basketball teams. I'm really just coming from the court right now, and a men's basketball team was right there practicing right beside me. Yeah,
man.
Yeah, so it's nice to see this
game. Some scouting.
Yeah, just some scouting. I was getting my own shots in on every court while these guys are getting a couple shots in before your trip to Toronto, right? Yeah. So it was nice to see getting them a little warmed up. You know, good luck to them tonight. You know, good young team, and all the best for them in OUA.
Definitely, of course. Of course, their game tonight at the Tate McKenzie Center in Toronto. Of course, the men's football turnout, of course, our flagship football program, recently reclinched number one back on the U Sports ranking. We were number one for the majority of the season, fell down, and then came back up.
Yeah, they're actually tied with Montreal for now, number one spot, I believe, right?
And a lot of Quebecois teams are on that list, of course, just to go over the rankings. We're tied with Montreal at number one, U Sports. Again, not OUA, U Sports. University of all Canada.
Yeah, it's great to see. Laurie's program this year has been unbelievable.
And you could tell from last year that they were great last year. And you could tell there's another step that, you know, another year of experience would give them. And they've just shot to the moon this year.
They're going all in this season as well. You know, Laurie, again, just to mention, undefeated season. First time in 19 years, actually, for the Laurie program. So that's extremely nice to see. Playoff game kickoff at 1 p.m. on November 2nd. You know, still don't know who they're going to play against. You know, tickets are available for students. Well, $5 each. So pretty cheap tickets for us, you know.
That's pretty good. Just like, yeah, it's a $5 bill, and you get to see the Laurier Golden Hawks play a terrific game of football. Yeah, They've won every game this season. Yeah. So no reason to expect that would change come November 2nd. Of course, they're tied with Montreal again. Number one in the U Sports ranking, tied for three. Is Western, of course, our Ontario brethren, and then Laval, going back to Quebec, tied for three. Fifth is Bishops, which I think is in Sherbrooke, Quebec, so a lot of
Quebec teams.
A lot of Quebecois representation. Sixth, we're going all the way to the Pacific Coast. UBC is at number sixth for men's football. Seven, we're bringing it all the way back, just 20 minutes down the road, Highway 7 down to Guelph. Number eighth, we're bringing it to a land of polar bears, if you're in Churchill, U Manitoba. Ninth, we're once again back in Ontario with Queens. And then 10 is STFX University, which I was unfamiliar with. St. Francis Xavier University out of Antigonish, Nova Scotia. So Cape Breton, of course, we mentioned earlier, their university, they beat the men's basketball program. And then another university out of Nova Scotia. That's not the main one you think of. You usually think of the one in Halifax, but this one out of Antigonish, St. Francis Xavier. Coming in hot, number 10 on U Sports rankings for football, which is quite interesting. Of course, the men's football team, number one in the conference. So, of course, they get that quarterfinal bye, and they go straight to the semis, which, as Kevin mentioned, is November 2nd.
Yep, November 2nd. And then also going back to football as well, Ethan Jordan of the football team as well. One of the athletes of the week for this week as well, joining Riley Morwick of women's lacrosse team as well. So congratulations to them. And also Ethan Jordan named OUA Offensive Player of the Week and end of the season with a record breaking for Laurier's program, 1,000 yards of the year.
Of course, the first Laurier receiver to reach 1,000 yards in a season, and one of a handful. I forgot the exact number. I saw it earlier this week. Was it 8, 10, or 12, 14, something like that. Some low even number for all-time receivers to reach 1,000 yards in the OUA history books. So Ethan Jordan, rightfully, not just named Athlete of the Week here on campus, but OUA Offensive Player of the Week, too. So shout out Ethan Jordan. That's something no one can take away from you. What an achievement for him.
Yeah, this goes back to, you know, showing off how much Laurie can do during the regular season. And we especially want to see that in the playoff season as well. Just these records, it's the greatest season.
Yeah, it's 1,000 yards, too. And how long is the football season? That's, what, six, seven games, right?
6-7 games, yeah.
So, 1,000 yards in half a dozen games, that's not too shabby.
That's really impressive. Nice to see. And then, you know, going to soccer, actually, as well. A little bit of upset there.
Yeah. It was. I actually got the chance to call that game.
Oh, really?
Actually, I was a caller. Of course, they needed someone because it's a playoff game, so they want another person in the booth. And so they asked me, and I said, sure. I used to play soccer. I just play house league soccer.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I'm not quite a messy level, but I have experience. I ran a soccer camp. My summer job was camp counselor, so
that's
I got
great.
To do a soccer camp, which was a terrible coach, by the way. But that's beside the point. But I got to commentate that game with Dan the man, Dan Polistrick, of course, the head of the athletics department. No one told me, so I'm like, oh, hi, Dan. I'll be on my best behavior, I guess. Hi, you're important. And so that was it was a really close game. very, very close game, of course. 0-0 all the way to penalty shootouts.
Yeah, really nail-biting game there. Laurier was, 6-5-1 during the season as well. They clinched the fourth seed, ended the game 0-0 as well, going to overtime, and then both teams hitting the crossbar, actually, in the penalty kickoff as well. Yeah.
It was a bit frustrating to watch. Of course, penalty kicks, you know, like, I enjoy them. Like, I don't like games being decided by them. Mm-hmm. But they are maybe the most dramatic ending to a game available in arguably any sport.
Really?
I know, like, sudden death overtime, like, and stuff. But just the sheer pathos of soccer or football penalty kickouts is just amazing to watch. And devastating if your team is on the wrong end.
Yeah, especially nail-biting, you know, not just in university sports, especially in, like, European football as well. You know, UCL, Champions League action, you know, always see it. I remember Real Madrid against Atletico during that one season. Really nail-biting there. Ronaldo eventually clinching it.
Oh, yeah, Ronaldo.
I remember that, yeah.
They're iconic. I mean, the Canadian women's soccer team, of course, I think it was the Olympic gold medal. They won it back in 2020 in penalty kickouts against the Swedish female squad. And those are just things you watch that you just remember the drama. I think that one also went like 10 rounds because...
Really? Damn.
It was wild. But of course, the Golden Hawks men's soccer team falling sooner in the playoffs as they would like. Of course, losing to the Guelph Griffins 0-0, but 6-5 on penalty shootouts. As you mentioned, both teams hit the crossbar. And I hate, you know, penalty kickouts also... You know, they're interesting to, like, you can also almost, like, it's also fun to play the game with the players and, like, guess which way the goalie's going to dive, pick your own shot. And a lot of times it's, once you notice it, I remember my dad was a big soccer fan. He's stunningly excellent, like, picking out which, just by watching the players walk up to the spot, he can, like, go for 100% on picking out which players are going to score, which players aren't, just by their demeanor, just by... how they're looking, what they're looking at, how they're carrying the ball to the spot. Mm-hmm. And so I've always kind of tried to retain that and watching the Golden Hawks and Guelph play. I was like 75% on it, so I felt pretty good about that.
It's a lot of in-depth analysis right there, yeah.
And you can, like, you know, because it's just the way they walk up, which way they're doing, are they uncertain, or do they, can you tell they already know which spot they're going to pick and they're confident about it? Some players, they walk up, they're kind of fiddling with the ball. Mm-hmm. They're looking at both ends. They don't really know what they're doing. Yeah. By the time they kick the ball, they're just hoping it goes somewhere the goalie isn't. Where in those ones are typically ones that hit the bar or make it real kind of, you know, they don't know what they're doing. So the goalie is just... can easily, it just goes straight down the middle to them, right?
Yeah, especially one of the key things also to keep in mind is also like the little runoff too. You got one like
a little stutter step, maybe.
Yeah, all the time. Back when I used to play soccer, I used to be house league soccer too.
House league hero.
Yeah, team captain actually as well back in the day. Yeah, it was a lot of pressure actually. I helped my team reach the playoffs. I'm a former defender, center back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it was something. Yeah, we did lose. We did lose in penalties. So you know, I can kind of reconcile with Laurier's team as well in a way, even though I was very young.
It was a very you know, calling that, you know, you can't really get emotional. Mm-hmm. But I know and Dan too, he can get emotional being the main play-by-play guy, especially. And then, but as soon as we took the headset off, oh boy, we were a bit questionable on the entire games and Laurier's and Guelph's tactics and strategies. And we felt Golden Hawks could have won that game had they capitalized on some opportunities and maybe utilized some players or you know, pass ball when they had the opportunity. But of course, that would probably go for Guelph too. It's only when you lose that you look back and realize all the missed opportunities. And of course, speaking of missed opportunities, of course, Golden Hawks actually had that advantage. They end the penalty kickouts. You do your first five, and if no winner is decided, then you go into sudden death 1-1. Throughout, and of course, Golden Hawks had the advantage, and then they didn't have the advantage quite quickly. Of course, hitting the bar, I think on the sixth round, which then allowed Guelph to then slam it home, as you'd expect in penalty shootouts. But that bar shot, of course, I don't want to be too, you know, angry on the show here, but that's just a poor decision. Going for a high shot there. No one else on your team in the first five shooters went for a high shot. Four of them scored, going for low shots, picking the corner. And I'm not saying like on the ground, but still like, you know, 4 feet or lower.
Yeah, considerably low, yeah.
And, of course, Guelph did the exact same. Their one shot they elected to go high went off the bar. So I don't know why in a sudden death six-shot situation where it's just you It's 1-1. If you don't get it and the next person gets it, they score.
They score, yeah.
So you have to score in that situation. So you think you go try and true. You don't try to do anything fancy. You don't overthink it. You just nail it as hard as you can into the side of the net. No, elects to do something fancy, tries to do a little like, chip shot, trying to get it over the goalie. Doesn't work. Too risky in that situation, especially in playoff game. If it was like non-conference exhibition, you went to penalty kickouts just for, you know, fun. Yeah, go for it, some things. But in a playoff situation, that's frankly a poor decision. And they got burned for it. Simple as that.
Yeah, it's kind of expected. But, you know, a great end of the season either way, for clinching fourth seed. Coach Mario eventually was very impressed by their second half performance as well. And, you know, great job by Laurier this season. All the best for next year.
True. Not to mention, it was the first home OUA playoff game in men's soccer for like over a decade, I think. Yeah. So, a good showing for the program. But when you know you have a winning record into the season, you make it as the fourth seed or against the fifth seed, and you have a lot of chances. The Griffins goaltender Finley really kept them in it. There, he was the all-star of that game, and so many chances for the Golden Hawks in that men's soccer game. Of course, last Saturday, falling to the Guelph Griffins in penalty shootouts. Anything else for campus sports we can think of?
I believe that's basically it. To stay tuned in tonight, men's basketball, women's basketball for tonight. Stay tuned for that. And I'm pretty sure that's it. How are we doing for professional sports?
Professional
so far?
Sports, though. Good segue.
How are the Leafs doing?
Leafs. I didn't get a chance to watch. They lost last game, by the way. They lost last night, 5-1 against the Blues, who aren't a top team in the league by any standing. I didn't get a chance to watch. I was watching the Golden Hawks game last night, of course, in-house at the Rec Complex. But 5-1 against the Blues, against Craig Berube. He's the head coach of Leafs' old team, the team he was coaching last year. So the Blues get some rectification. Of course, you always want to beat your own coach. You bring the extra, you know, extra edge to your old coach. And, of course, usually the old coach and their team would want to bring extra edge to beat the coach's old team. So, we're the better team. Yeah. You know, I mean, we have him now. And they didn't. Because, you know, it's the Leafs, and they're as inconsistent as, you know, Waterloo wind patterns.
Throwing a little shade into Waterloo.
Waterloo weather. Oh, the wind. I don't understand the wind in the city. Side note, side tangent. The wind in the city is absolutely, like, brutal. I don't understand how, no matter which direction you're facing, you're getting blown in the face with wind just some of those days. Like, that's not how wind works. If wind's blowing in your face and you're walking towards the wind, so it's in your face, and you turn down the street, the wind shouldn't still be in your face.
That's right.
And yet, it is.
It's still one.
I don't understand how the city planners work these streets, just be absolute wind tunnels. But side note over. Of course, the Leafs lost last night, 1-5. And of course, a couple, I think three of the five goals the Blues scored were scored by Holmberg or Broberg and another former Oilers player, Holloway. Holloway and Broberg scored three of the five goals for the Blues. And of course, if you follow hockey, you might recognize those names as the names the Blues offer sheeted the Oilers. So, of course, offer sheet's a bit confusing in hockey, but essentially, if they're an upcoming restricted free agents, or maybe I don't really understand it, but you can offer sheet some players, of course, which basically means they've now become on your team. Even they're on the roster of another team, but if they're an upcoming restricted free agent, you can offer sheet them. Generally, teams don't do this because, A, you know, it's like it's a boys' club, you know, don't take my players, I won't take yours, sort of exactly. Kind of honor system. And also because it's generally like there's a minimum threshold of a contract you have to offer them. And generally, it's on the higher ends of money. So a lot of people just also, it's not worth it because, like, these players you're offer sheeting might just be third liners. You don't want to give them $5 million a year. But Blues did. So everyone's kind of shocked by that, and they didn't just do one play. They did two off the Oilers, Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg. And, of course, those players scored the majority of the goals for the Blues last night. So, you know, if one of your friends is an Oilers fan, check in on them. That's not, I'm probably not feeling good for them.
Yeah, Leafs are also, 4-4, I believe, in Atlantic, right? Not a good start to the new season.
No. And I think over the past 5 years, I've learned to not give up, but I've learned to cede some emotion towards Leafs, of course, because like Leafs, you know, if you follow hockey, Leafs are the local team, so like as much people like, oh, I hate the Leafs, they're so, you know, popular and stuff like that, it's like they're the local team, they're within like 2 hours of the majority of people in Ontario, so like you kind of want to see them win
exactly
just because you're geographically close to them, but I've learned to kind of cede that emotion and passion because they're just consistently inconsistent to the point of you don't really know. They could be against the best team in the league and win 4-1, be against the worst team in the league and get shut out 5-0.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same upset every year after year. Everyone says it's their year.
It's their
every
it's
single time.
This year is their year. Shut up.
It's not. And then, you know.
It never will be.
Austin Matthews, well, new captaincy.
Yeah, that was strange.
Do you think that may have taken an effect, you know, compared to John Tavares?
I don't really understand why they did it. Again, apparently it was amicable, and like Tavares is sick in interviews. He's all happy about it. It's like, I was willing to give it to Matthews. But yeah. It's strange you see like a captain stripped of the captaincy, and even rarer to give it like, you think you'd just wait, because Tavares had 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, he was a fine captain. Like, he was a veteran, and, you know, he's a second-line center. He's good for 30 goals, 30 assists a year. He was a solid guy. He wasn't the all-star he was 10 years ago, but I thought he was a good captain. Yeah. And so you thought he'd just ride out that captain seat till the end of his contract at the end of this season. Just one more year with him as captain, no biggie. But and just before he gets to the end of his contract, you throw it onto Matthews, who would probably be the next captain anyways, just a year early. But it wasn't for, like, any reason at all, just to change up, I guess, the dressing room or change up leadership. But also, like, Tavares and Matthews, they're part of the same core four. So, like, they're really, that's not like, you know, if you throw the captaincy onto, like, you know, Nick Robertson or some random, not random, Nick Robertson, but like, or like David Kampf, just a random roster guy who wasn't a star, that'd be much more interesting.
Yeah.
But you're just, and that would change the leadership a lot.
Definitely.
But just throwing it onto a guy who's been there as long as Tavares, who is already an assistant captain, who is, you know, part of the same core four and likely has the same, like, leadership style and same, you know, I mean, Matthews is probably the greatest goal scorer currently. But, you know, it's just strange. I don't see the point of it. I don't think anything's really changed behind the scenes. I just find it a strange side note on this Leafs season.
Yeah,
like, it's not significant. I don't think it's significant enough to do. To change the captaincy. Yeah. I don't think anything would really change.
Nothing's really changed. Even with the coaches' changes too, you know, not much has changed really in recent years with their performances. I mean, last year's playoff performance is also a big upset as well, you know. And this year, I mean, it is early on in the season, just not for Leafs, but for any team actually as well. You know, you'll see the performance later on. And also, speaking of Leafs, actually, Kitchener native Steven Lorenz recently got signed as well. I saw it recently, yeah.
Lorenz, yeah.
Played with the Waterloo Wolves during his minor career while he was back here in Kitchener-Waterloo.
Yeah, and it's Lorenz, of course. It's always cool to see all those professional players, Waterloo and Kitchener, Tri-City natives. Yeah. It's always strange, too, because I'm from Barrie, right?
Yeah.
So, but, like, you know, I've been here for 4 years now, so it's always like, he's walked the same streets I did. He's probably got his feet stuck on the floor. It feels, too. Holy, that is sticky.
It feels. Don't get me started about that place.
Quality.
Quality place.
Quality establishment.
Really recommend it.
it's a must, I think, for every Laurier and Waterloo student, right? That's part of the changing of the guard there is the Phil's run first or second year. But, of course, the Maple Leafs, not the only Toronto team in action, of course. Regular season. Has the regular season started for the Raptors yet?
It has. A couple days ago, really big upset against the Cavs. I really wish I wouldn't have to talk about it, but I have to. Scottie Barnes got held to a low 9 points. Yeah, really.
I was reading that in the paper, and I'm like, I don't know much about the Raptors, but me and the journalist run the same webpage, Rick. That's not good.
Yeah, Scottie Barnes got shot out to 9. Grady Dick, 16. Not bad performance by him. Bench, absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible performance by the bench. Preseason, however, was really great. It was really nice to see that chemistry between the bench getting built up by the young guys. Jamal Shedd, Jameson Battle, Bruno Fernandes. Really nice to see, but there's not much going on there for the bench. Scottie Barnes trying to make it work. 9 points, terrible field goal percentage as well. Got shit out 136-106. I believe they take on the Sixers tonight as well. Paul George, I believe he might be injured tonight. I'm not 100% too sure of what's going on with that situation, but hopefully that kind of benefits Raptors in their favor. Again, it is early on in the season, and it was terrible to see because that was their first game of the 30-year anniversary season as well, which was their first game debuting their new purple jerseys, their throwback jerseys as well, which was pretty awful to see. Personally, they also had their original court, and they didn't actually bring back their throwback court, which is a little weird to me, actually. It was really strange, because I was like, okay, you have purple jerseys. You brought them back. Why not bring back the original Dino court?
You would think.
Yeah.
I love the Dino era of the Raptors.
Me too, yeah. I have the jerseys, too. Why not have the purple court to match it? I don't want to see the original court, like the red contrasting with the purple one. I see them on the court. It's pretty weird to see. It's your 30-year anniversary season, you know? Yeah. It's been, 6 years since you won a championship. You did the same thing for 25th year anniversary when he brought back the white Dino jerseys from the Vince Carter era, and you had the proper Dino court. So it only makes sense. But then again, the court is one of the least of the issues there early on in the season. I can just hope all the best for Scotty Barnes, all-star last year, hopefully all-star this year. Cavs as well, Davion Mitchell, Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley would have whopping 25-8-3, almost close to a double-double there. Jared Allen, 14-7. And then Donovan Mitchell with 21 right there. So just there, you can probably see it right there. Evan Mobley and Scotty Barnes going back and forth. You know, there's always a little bit of rivalry from the little 2021 NBA draft there from Evan Mobley and Scotty Barnes. Yeah. Always a little debate there. Personally, Evan Mobley was in my favor a little bit. You know, I was a Raptors fan,
yeah,
but he did win Rookie of the Year, Scotty Barnes, and first NBA All-Star of that draft as well. This past game, I wouldn't hold on to that too much, saying Evan Mobley's a little bit better than Scotty Barnes. You know, the record speaks for itself, but we'll see later on the season. And big day, not only for Raptors tonight, but for NBA in general. We were whopping 10 games tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 games tonight. Raptors against Sixers, Pacers against Knicks, Cavs, Pistons. The list could go on. Yeah, Bucks, yeah. Bulls. Yeah. So everyone stay tuned to that. And, you know, cheer on for local Raptors today at 7 p.m. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Of course, yeah, the majority of the NBA teams in action tonight. Of course, we approached 133. If I had good eyesight, I'd be able to get that big. 133, my eyesight's worse than Helen Keller. That's not the point. The point is that, of course, we're going to try something fancy on the station here. Of course, yeah. I asked about this earlier this year. It's my first year as sports manager. And no, we never did it last year and never did it the year before.
Yeah.
I'm a classic of Kevin of sports shows is the caller. You listen to like AM, like TSN 1050 or Sportsnet, you know, I think 590 The Fan.
Yeah.
Or all these other like independent sports shows. They always have the caller in. And it's always like they take their takes and they discuss it. And I thought that'd be cool for this sports show. No one's done it before, so I'm like, I'll try it. If it doesn't work, it might not work. So we're going to see how this goes. Of course, I have a friend of mine lined up. He knows what to say and not to say on the show. So, Jack, don't worry. but we'll get him on the line in a bit here. Of course, before we get him online, we also have a soundboard here. And every week they change the sounds on it. So be patient with me. But like,
That was loud.
Sorry about that. But they got last year it was just like screams, or last week it was screams.
Yeah.
So we got an applause. Okay, so we're back to classic soundboard. Wait. Yuri. That's when I talk. Mystical.
Yeah.
And then that's nuclear holocaust beep. All right. So we got the soundboard. I'm going to turn that back off. So now it's good to know that whenever I say something that everyone disagrees with, I can just do that. So I pretend people think I know what I'm talking about. But we're going to try to get my friend. His name's Jackson. We're going to try to get him on air here. It might not work at all, and it's live. So I think the funniest outcome of this is it doesn't work at all.
Yeah, first time for everything. We'll see.
if it does work, it'll be cool. I'm not sure how it works. I'm not sure like if we can have a conversational or rather it's just him like talking, we have to respond to it, but he is dialing, so I'll hit the accept button. Oh, all right, are you there? Can you hear me? Oh, wait, try again. Hello, doesn't work.
Yeah,
wow.
A little bit of upset there.
All right. What else? Kevin, say something smart while I try to figure this out.
while we get that figured out, Let me see here. What else is going on today in sports?
Oh, wait, wait, wait. I'm back on the line.
Yeah. Okay.
Good fill-in. All right. Hello. Okay. He's up on the way. It's all unmuted. He says he's talking. I don't believe him. Let me plug
everything in.
Second time go around. Oh, wait. Wait. Try again. Last time. Try again.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
there we go.
Yo.
That's crazy. Oh, my goodness.
Say kumquat.
Come what?
Kumquat.
Kumquat.
So the delay isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The delay is not that bad.
That's pretty good. All right. So welcome in on Radio Laurier, yeah. Jackson. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Laurentian University up in Sudbury.
Yeah, he's up in Sudbury, Laurentian.
Pretty far drive.
Yeah, I'm not terribly proud to announce that, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, we love slamming other universities here at Golden Bold Sports
so
Show.
I've heard.
What have you been up to this Friday?
Well, just, you know, got back from a steady load of classes. And
You're in French class, right?
I was in a French class.
How's French going? Why'd you do that?
Oh, it's been the same for the last, I don't know, a couple hundred some odd years.
Hasn't really changed much?
There's not a lot going on in the French language world.
Is it like a first-year intro course?
Pardon me?
Is it like a first-year intro to French course, or is it like an actual,
okay.
Yeah, it's French for dummies, you know, those little yellow books. I could probably, you know, read one of those and
it do just fun. Kevin, you're a big French
I hate teacher? Taking French. Yeah, I dropped it in grade 9.
Yeah, exactly. Take a 1 year.
I didn't want to.
I did it all throughout high school because, like, masochism, I guess. But it was, yeah, no. I'm not a huge, I mean, no, I'm on Radio Laurier. I'm a big fan of speaking French. Don't worry.
But and I live in Sudbury. I kind of have to like French. So if there's anyone listening, I do like French. I think it's great.
Yeah, a good save there. Yeah. Of course, welcome to Gold and Bold Sports Show. This is historic. This is the first ever caller in potentially ever, as long as I'm aware and Jack is aware, station manager. So this is revolutionary, Jackson.
Well, I think I need to put that in my LinkedIn bio. That's what I want. Give myself a plaque.
Slap that on your cover letter.
T-shirt.
It's great to see.
Well, we'll give you a T-shirt. Don't worry. You will have to pay for it.
I am looking forward to it.
All right. So, Jackson, of course, I know you're a big hockey guy. You're a big Canucks fan, right?
Big Canucks fan.
How are the Canucks doing this year?
Well, you know, that's just the question, isn't it? I've been looking better. Definitely better in the last couple of games for sure. Started off the season, I thought, honest to God, it was just going to be another Canucks season that we've seen for the last 6, 7, 8, how many years I can remember.
Yep.
But starting to turn things around. I'm still waiting for the stars to get going. You know, Pettersson and
Pettersson's been doing so hot, has he?
Has not been doing so hot. They just gave him this big contract last season, and he's not been really holding up.
Of course.
Of course, it's early.
Yeah. Nils Höglander, he signed an extension, right?
As I understand it, yeah.
And what's your feeling on the big hog? Because I love Höglander. He's my favorite Canuck.
I think he may be the most underrated player on the team. I genuinely do.
That's valid. That's a good take.
I think he is about as solid of a two-way guy as you can get. Like, no, he's not going to score 30 goals, and he's probably not going to win a Selke in his career. If he does, that'd be something. But I think he is about as good of a top six contributor as you could ask for, really. He's not terribly expensive towards the cap. He can put up offense, and he looks good playing with pretty much whoever they put him with.
Of course, yeah. And of course, it's always the cap consideration, right? And, you know, it's before the 2005 season, of course, NHL didn't have a cap.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was much more, you know, interesting to see how all these guys got paid. Now there's a cap. And of course, that's always the talk online. And so how much is the person making against the cap? And I know, Kevin, you're a big basketball guy. It's the same sort of style there.
Same thing, yeah. NBA cap. I mean, there's a lot of money thrown around there, especially for league bench players getting thrown around, like, I don't know, like $5 million right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they don't really, they just kind of sit there.
Yeah,
and earn $5 million.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I wish I had your life.
Yeah, shout out to Bronny James, for example. does not deserve it.
Oh, Bronny James,
big name there.
Has he played the regular season yet?
He has played I don't know, like three. I believe three
in the preseason.
Yeah, like 3 minutes in a regular season. Preseason terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah, not good stats at all.
Yeah, he played a couple minutes with his dad in the regular season.
That's exciting.
It's exciting. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how many points he got, honestly.
Makes Daddy Braun happy.
Not too much.
You gotta have him on the team.
And I remember, like, looking at the media coverage. I'm not too sure the Lakers won or lost, but I know Anthony Davis dropped around 30-plus points.
Wow.
No coverage that whatsoever. Just LeBron and his son. That's it. That's all I saw.
It's
yeah.
strange. LeBron is, what, the oldest player in the league.
Oldest
still
player in the
commanding
league.
All the media attention. It's actually absurd what he's putting up. We're living through the age of LeBron.
Yeah, he's tied with Vince Carter, I believe, right now for oldest to ever play in last in the league, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so it's great to see it. First father-son duo. We'll see a lot more of it in
I'm sure
every
we
season.
Will.
Yeah.
Turn on social media, all you'll see is Bronny and Braun. Of course, Jackson, you hang up with the NBA at all?
I'm not terribly proud of it, but NBA fandom is more bandwagon-y than
that's fair.
Most.
Okay. That's why baseball. I'm a big bandwagon in baseball.
That's fair.
The Raptors for a long time, even before the whole Kawhi era, they were fun to watch. You know, that DeRozan.
Oh, DeRozan.
Lowry,
DeRozan.
DeRozan was like my favorite. Like, 10-year-old, DeRozan was my favorite.
DeRozan
player.
And Lowry, that duo right there. 2016. That's when I started watching actually as well. Yeah. The 2016 era. That was like great season to start watching. I was a bit of a bandwagon back then as well. I literally only watch playoff games because back then it was almost guaranteed the Raptors would make the playoffs every single season. Leafs, however,
much more volatile.
But even going back to talking about LeBron, LeBronto was a very, very real phenomenon.
Please don't remind me. I will not forget that shot against OG Anunoby in 2018.
OG.
Oh, man.
I will never forget that. That was really traumatizing for me. I do not want to be remembered like that. I am just happy.
You have that therapy session after this, right?
Yeah, exactly. 2018 LeBron was a monster in the Eastern Conference, and I'm happy he got out.
I'm curious if you guys saw, I was reading on the sports Twitter, as one does, Kawhi Leonard recently kind of broke his silence on why he picked the Clippers over the Raptors. I don't know if either of you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
I didn't. What did he say?
Basically, he said he wanted to build his own franchise, like, from the startup. Like, he wanted to build his own team for startup. You know, that's why he didn't go to Lakers. You know, LeBron was already there. He literally just left the Eastern Conference. He was doing his own thing there, and eventually won the NBA championship in 1920 season back in the bubble. And then, you know, you go see Kawhi back in 2018-19 going from the star player. You had a whole country running right behind your back. The championship parade was just like another essence to that. I don't know if any of you guys watched or were there, but you saw how many people were there along the DVP in Garner. Yeah, like all throughout there.
I think maybe half my high school class was down there, if not more.
Yeah, like a lot of people were there. Yeah, so you just see it. And then Kawhi Leonard basically shuts all that out, leaves for the Clippers, wants to build his own legacy, and you see the injuries just getting back to him. And Raptors, they have a great, you know, medical staff. They're one of the best in the leagues to rehabilitate players, and you can see it from there. And that's what got Kawhi to his level in the 18-19 season. But
I think the saddest thing about it too is if you look at the year after Kawhi left with Pascal Siakam, who is my personal favorite, so there might be a little bit of bias, but they had a 60-win season without him.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't play a single game for them, and they were about the best team in the league.
Yeah, they did amazing. I'm not too sure they finished first or second that season in the NBA in the Eastern Conference, but they did exceptionally well during that season without Kawhi Leonard. You know, starting OG Anunoby back in that small forward position, the loss of Danny Green to the Lakers and Kawhi to the Clippers it took a toll. But they had a great bench that year. I remember Terrence Davis, I don't know, Rondae Hollis Jefferson.
Rondae Hollis. They had Norman Powell, who was a massive factor.
Norman Powell, Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet going to the starting shooting guard spot when the loss of Danny Green. You know, you can see how that come up from the 905 to the starting Raptors. You can just see that. And also Raptors 905, Pascal Siakam, your favorite player you mentioned as well. You can see that just from the improvement and the player program from that. You can see how much they impacted in the 1920 season just from the bench and from the new starting players as well. As their 25th anniversary season as well, Raptor championship. So it was a very exciting season to see without Kawhi. I still remember that Celtics series, though, in the bubble. Took a huge toll. Yeah, it was really entertaining. I wouldn't lie.
It was good TV.
Yeah. Oh, that OG Anunoby buzzer beater. I don't know if you guys remember that, if you watched that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a great game. Yeah. A little bit upset there. I thought they would have went back-to-back if Kawhi did stay. It's a little bit of a hot take, but it probably would have happened.
No, I absolutely agree.
Yeah,
the top two.
Yeah, they were the favorite. Yeah,
even when they did win the championship, I think Siakam was in his second, third year of being like getting fairly regular minutes.
Mm, yeah, he exactly.
Won the, rookie or not rookie? Pardon me. The
MIP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most improved. Yeah, he won MIP in the championship year. Yeah.
That just seems like such a, I don't want to say perfect team because I don't think there's such a thing. But if you get Kawhi, you get Siakam, who keeps developing, I'm assuming. Even if Danny Green does leave, you get Fred VanVleet coming up. Mm. I don't think they just two-peat. I think there's like real dynasty potential there.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that we will never get to know.
It was a one-and-done season, essentially. Yeah, exactly. You could see that they capped at it for a couple more years. Mm-hmm. There was more championships in their future, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had the chemistry right there. Even with the loss of Kawhi, they had it all in there in their program through the development program.
Yep.
And a big upset was the Raptors 905 program with Norman Powell, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. I remember Norman Powell saying this in interviews, saying, "Oh, if they had all stayed, Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell, Pascal Siakam, they would have been what the Celtics would have been basically last year."
Yep.
100%.
I can see that.
100%. I remember saying that, and yeah, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, they would have went back-to-back, a three-peat, maybe.
There's definitely, there's a lot of hope, a lot of potential, and you could see there's something more coming. Mm-hmm. But then it was just a great thing cut way too soon.
Yeah, exactly. And, as you said, it was
at least
like
they got
one-off
that one, right?
Yeah.
We got that.
Yeah, as you said, it was like a one-off season, I would say. Would we have won if DeMar stayed? No.
No.
No. And I remember, this or last week, I don't remember, saying Raps would have won it still. I don't think so.
But Jackson, of course, I know the World Series coming up, and I know you're a big baseball guy, and I often go to you for baseball like information. So what are your feelings on are you cheering for the Dodgers, cheering for the Yankees, or cheering for the Meteorite?
Well, first off, you had that little soundboard of bleeps and curses going, right?
Yep.
All right, well, if you hold that button down, I think we might be able to get through
this
segment.
3, 2, 1.
But so I got to cheer for the Dodgers, not because of Shohei. I like Mookie. He's a bowler. I got to respect that. Teoscar Hernandez is there.
I do. Yeah, Teoscar is good, of course. Yeah.
But the Meteor may be the dark horse pick for my for my World Series MVP. I gotta choose.
It's a good pick. I can see it happening.
I don't know. I think the idea that you have, because they are the two best teams in the league, there is no question about it. I love the Arizona-Texas series. I love seeing Nationals in Houston. I'm glad we don't have Houston anymore. But
hey, that's fun.
It is nice to see so many superstars who truly deserve to be there at the top.
Yeah, true. They're stacked teams. And of course, the MLB would love the Judge versus Ohtani. Those are the two greatest hitters of our age.
Ohtani's still 100%. On that plane to Toronto.
And then you throw guys like Soto and Freeman and Betts in there. It really is a superstar-filled World Series that I don't think we've seen in a really, really long time.
No. Mm-hmm. So it will be it's must-watch TV. As much as you might not like those two big spending markets getting to the World Series with all the superstars that the other teams don't have, it is must-watch TV.
Absolutely. There's no other way to look at it. Whether you are like a Jays fan like me, whether you're a Giants fan who just absolutely hates everybody except for the Giants, you got to watch it because you don't know if you're ever going to see this again, right?
No.
Yeah, we're talking about premium. If you told me 5 years ago that Soto and Judge would even be on the same team, never mind playing in the World Series against Betts, Freeman, Kershaw, whoever, on another same team, you wouldn't believe it because that's just such a, MLB The Show franchise mode playing around,
This is a video game right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I know, of course, I'm not a huge baseball guy, but of course I'm a Blue Jays guy. They're local, so you got to cheer for him. And I was always a big Detroit Tigers fan. Mm-hmm. So I like their run, of course, but none really
Absolutely.
Came out of it. Of course, I was a Tigers fan because perhaps a bit of narcissism, because they used to have a player called Ian Kinsler in 5 years old. And I'm like, hey, that's my name. That's not my favorite team. It's easy, how when you're little, how does players and teams become your favorite team?
No,
just
exactly.
In your five-year-old mind. Of course, I like the Flames, Calgary Flames, NHL. Simply because I was a five-year-old boy who, of course, oh, Flames, fire. Hey, that's my team, right?
That's nice.
No, I had the same thing with the Canucks. There was this guy, I don't know if you ever heard of him. It was Luongo.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Roberto.
To me, as a 8-year-old, that was a funny name.
My favorite player, my two favorite players of all time. Okay, one, Jerome Iginla. Because A, Iginla is a good name. Mm-hmm. Also B, like he scored 50 goals and also fought 50 times. So he's like naturally my favorite. And then my second favorite, Jay Bomeister, who was just like a stay-at-home defenseman. But Bomeister, he played for the Flames and he had a really cool name. So why wouldn't he be like my favorite player?
Yeah.
Bomeister, he just won two jerseys I own. I own a Bomeister and I own a Spezza. Those are my two jerseys. Jackson, what jerseys do you got there?
See, this is going to sound kind of sad. Hockey-wise, I don't really have any. Call it maybe a little bit of stinginess. Call it I can't decide. I came very close last or not last season, the season before, to getting an Andrei Kuzmenko jersey, and I'm quite happy I didn't. Now, unfortunately, in Calgary. But,
unfortunately, you take that back.
Well, you know, as a fan, unfortunately, fair. I'm sure you're loving him.
Oh yeah,
but no, I do, however, have an Alejandro Kirk jersey that I am insanely proud of.
That's good.
Okay,
little Jays.
Very nice, yeah.
Kevin, I know you have the purple the Raptors. The
I got not throwback, not the original one. I actually got the one they released this season, the new one for 30th. I got that. I got the white Dino jersey. I got the new red Pascal Siakam one.
Nice.
I got that like two seasons ago, I believe. Yeah, I got a RJ Barrett Jordan jersey as well. He's from my hometown. He grew up in my area, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Whereabouts that?
Mississauga. Oh, okay. Yeah, so he grew up in my hometown, in my area, Mississauga as well. So it's nice to kind of see that. Went to high school, like, right by my house.
Hey.
Actually, I've seen him a couple times there, too, by square one. So, so yeah. And then what else do I have? I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, I got a Celtics jersey. Jason Tatum.
Ah, classic.
Yeah. Apart from Raptors, I love Jason Tatum, honestly. Fair. Yeah. Should have won Finals MVP, in my opinion.
Right, yeah.
But another discussion.
The jerseys are always like basketball jerseys. You know, like I'm not a basketball guy, so I don't have any. But basketball jerseys are very popular. They're very easy to like to wear too.
No, exactly.
Like
you
just throw it on top of anything or just wear it itself. You know, like a hockey jersey.
Hockey's just like pretty bulky.
They're flowing, and I'm not the biggest guy in the world. You can't see me on radio, so I'm 6'10", but I'm in real life.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not. See, yeah, Jackson.
To give a shout out, if I may, speak on the topic of jerseys.
Yep.
There is a man, and I say man.
There's a lot of men in the world.
Yeah.
It's almost like half the population. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
In one of my psychology classes up here at Laurentian, there is a dude even who shows up quite frequently in a Bismack Biyombo jersey for the Raptors.
That's class.
That's a nice jersey. I wouldn't lie. You know, great player, actually. Great center 100%. during his time with the Raptors, 100%. Yeah, I remember those days, 2016. Oh.
Like the king of rebounds, you know, like he was a favorite.
He was.
I have no idea what he's up to now.
He was. I'm pretty sure he was on a Hornets last time I heard about them. I swear. Yeah, I don't know where he is at right now.
Yeah, but it's always like hockey jerseys. You know, they're like they're big and bulky and they're long and like they're not really like you wouldn't wear them when you go into like hockey games.
Yeah, I love.
You can't really wear them casually.
I actually want to cop like baseball jerseys, for example.
Baseball jerseys would be good.
I saw the Blue Jays, like, I forgot what they're called. They released some new jerseys last
the city
jerseys. The Toronto Skyline. I want to get a Vladimir Guerrero jersey, actually, pretty soon, and I really wanted to get that, so that's still in my wish list.
Those are good-looking jerseys.
Great, yeah.
I love black jerseys.
Yeah,
like black and like a dark blue or dark red. You know,
yeah,
those are good. Those are
and
good
I
jerseys.
Like it a lot because like the skyline's right there. It's pretty nice. I know. I don't. I remember how much it is. I don't really pay attention to baseball that much.
Yeah,
I do watch it here and there. But yeah, Blue Jay season as well. Pretty rough.
Yeah, Jackson, what's your opinion on the Jays there?
Oh boy, get that soundboard going
one.
Again.
All right, go for it.
Oh man, I don't know what on God's name they're doing.
That's how everyone feels.
I would wake up every morning over the summer and I stopped watching the games because you can't watch the games. There's zero appeal there, except maybe sometimes when Gausman or Brios are pitching and you just want to sit back and watch a masterclass. But even then, this year it's been rough. They had zero offense outside of some of the younger guys. Horowitz was looking all right. And Guerrero, of course, was back to Guerrero standing, which is great to see, but it doesn't matter. The rest of the team is horrible.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the second half of the season for Guerrero was absolutely monstrous.
Yeah.
100%. Like, if you look at his OPS plus numbers, like, they are on par with his second place MVP voting finish from 2021, I believe.
Yep.
Like, he was absolutely astonishing. There is not enough words in the world to describe how good he was, and not enough words to describe how horrible the rest of the team was. And you got to wonder, like, what are Shapiro and Atkins doing? because
and they're I like in the Leafs. Sorry, the Leafs. Excuse me, the Blue Jays. They're keeping them. Rogers are keeping them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that they got rid of Martinez, the hitting coach, and I don't understand why John Schneider still has a job anywhere in Major League Baseball, never mind as a general manager. But it baffles me. I like the trades they made at the deadline. I like that they're getting rid of some of that veteran talent for younger guys. That's what you're supposed to do as a rebuilding team. But the fact that some of those players over the age of 26 with less than 2 years on their contract are still on the team, it baffles me. I don't understand why they wouldn't get rid of some of these pitchers while they still have value. Because obviously the Jays are not going to be competing. I know Atkins and Shapiro say they should be, but they won't.
Atkins and Shapiro, they just want to get revenue to make more renovations.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just part of it too, right? Rogers is a company, it's a business, and I understand that aspect of the game. But it just, as a baseball team, the products the Jays are putting out is going to be very hard to watch for the next few years.
That's completely accurate. And as you mentioned, especially as the management, again, you mentioned these pitchers and these players who are, you know, getting into late 20s, perhaps, you know, they're getting towards, you know, in the late early 30s, and they're not getting away from them when they have value. They're letting the contracts ride out for another 2 or 3 years, and by that time, they won't have any value. They won't be able to get anything for these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not a big fan of trading within the division, but, like, you watch the Yankees right now, and I'm watching, like, Carlos Rodon and Gerrit Cole are insanely amazing baseball players. They always have been. They always will be, save for a few hiccups here and there. But outside of that, I watch Luis Gill. I watch some of their other guys. I'm thinking, you know what? Chris Bassett absolutely could have a spot in this Yankees team, and the Jays could have got something for him.
Definitely.
I'm not. I don't think that Barrios should go because he's on a much longer contract.
Yeah.
But I think you get a guy like Gausman who's in, what, only got one, two more years left. Absolutely trade him. I love the guy. I love watching him pitch, and I'd be sad to see him go. But there really is zero value in holding him onto him except for maybe holding on to that last bit of magic that they had the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's just not going to come out. And we saw this year that all the Jays, all the players that the management banked on just could not produce. And so why we're running that back is preposterous and ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been running with the Guerrero-Bichette core for basically forever now, at least since, what, 2019, I think.
I'd say about
yeah, good. I believe so.
2020, Bichette came in, and they both had very good years. But Bichette looks completely lost to the plate right now. Springer is...
Bichette gets injured also a lot, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you can't expect a 34 or 35-year-old Springer to play like he was when he was 26.
No.
I think they keep running it back with the same core. They're, you know, moving pieces around. They went to get Varsho. I like that deal. They had Kiermaier, then they lost him. But it doesn't make sense to me why they're still running it out. It's like the definition of insanity. You know, they're expecting different results from the same bad team, and I don't get it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree there. That's great analysis there by analyst Jackson Lee.
Absolutely.
And of course, as we're approaching the hour minutes, we'll have to get off the air soon. But before we go, I'd just like to note a very special thank you, of course, to our first, potentially ever, but our first call-in in years.
Yeah.
So this is a monumental day in Golden Bolt in Radio Laurier team, sports team history. So I wanted to thank you, Jackson Lee, for hopping on the phone with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
We can do this again sometime. It's been fun.
Definitely. And like, we only took multiple callers a show. And this is, once I figured it out, first the 20 seconds there where we had no audio, I thought it was over. But we were so back.
We did what Ross Atkins couldn't do. We figured it out.
All right. So, Jackson, I'm going to let you go here. Thanks for calling. That actually turned out really well. So, I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
See ya.
See ya.
I got the hang up sound too. All right, and we're going to head off air soon real quick. Of course, Kevin, anything else you kind of want to add real quick in the last minute here?
That's all. Just stay tuned in for Laurier Sports for tonight.
Definitely.
Big day today, and also professional sports as well.
Of course, big NBA day today.
Yeah, and also NHL as well.
NHL. All the leagues are kind of getting rolling here, so if you're a sports fan, go onto the radio or go onto TV, go on internet, and follow all your favorite sports. And we'll have more for you next week. Of course, women's hockey, men's hockey, basketball programs are all in action this coming week. Stay tuned for all that. Thanks for watching, and have a great Friday.